Welcome to the Parenting Cipher, where each episode will give you the tools and resources to help your child thrive in school and in life. Please rate and review this podcast. I'd love to hear your feedback. And also hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. What's good, everyone? So today, I'm going to be talking about sleep, more specifically sleep deprivation. And don't turn this off thinking, I don't have any sleep deprivation. Look, we all suffer from a little bit of sleep deprivation, okay? Just some of us have it to the extreme. So remember, season two, we're talking about the space of possibilities. So one of the things that we want to do is get rid of the things that affect our ability to see our possibilities. And one of those things is sleep. Okay, so let's tackle what is sleep deprivation. So sleep deprivation is caused by a consistent lack of sleep or reduced quality of sleep. You're supposed to get between 7 and 9 hours of regular sleep. And specifically, you are actually supposed to go into REM sleep. It's a space where your body and your mind actively get to rest. So what does that look like? You could say, hey, I get 7 hours of sleep. How many times did you wake up? Right? How many times do they get disturbed? You know, I have a Fitbit. So, you know, usually when stuff ain't right, the Fitbit be telling me all types of stories. I'll talk about that some more in a bit. But let me tell you a story. I feel like one of them hip hop songs. Let me tell you a story of my sleep deprivation. So we all deal with sleep deprivation in little ways. But in the worst case scenario, this is what it looks like. I am a cautionary tale. So there was a time that I have two children, or my biological two children who are my stepchildren. My daughter had decided that she wanted to live with her mom. And I didn't have a problem with her living with her mom because parents have a bond. But when she left, she basically accused me of like keeping her away from her mom. Well, that's how I received it. We talked later and I realized that that's how I received it. That's not what she meant, but that's how I received it. But I had worked so hard to convince her dad to, you know, always let her see her mom and spend time with her mom. And for her to say that to me, it really hurt me. So she left. And I would have nights where I wouldn't sleep and I would constantly replay all of my decisions that I had made with her, like all the things that I had done. And that was on top of, you know, she had decided she wanted to live with her mom around the time that we discovered that she had a diagnosis and we were trying to maneuver it. And I really was like just steeped in guilt because I had constantly kept asking the teachers, you're saying it takes 20 minutes for students to do homework. Why does it take her an hour or 2 hours? And they will always tell me developmental. You know, she would sit there and sometimes her pen would stop moving and she would just be still. And I was like, girl, what are you doing over there? And I would ask the teacher and they would always say, well, it's developmental. I would ask them, are there any tests? And they would tell me, we don't do that. That would be the end of the conversation. And we had gotten to the point around eighth grade, she was showing depression. You know, we were having these conversations where she said she felt bad because she wasn't meeting my expectations. And even though I explained to her that it was okay because I knew that she was working really hard, let's all remember that you give your expectations to your child and that they start to take on those expectations for themselves. Like that's their expectation. So it wasn't just about me and me saying it's okay. It's also this point's about her. The end of it, we found out she had ADHD. I felt so bad. I felt so bad, man. Like I dropped the ball bad and I was running around trying to find a school that was comparable to the school that she was in that would help her maneuver life. And it was a lot for her. You know, for her, it was just like, man, all we need is these good drugs. And she couldn't understand that, yes, all of her friends had the same diagnosis, but her parents had the money and the knowledge and resources to get their children tested early. Okay, now look, sidebar, wealthy people get their kids tested early also because it leads to extra time on SATs and ACTs as well. Like damn near, they could possibly get like 3 days to complete the test. But they had been managing it from the time these kids were like 8 and we just found out. And I think that it was a lot for her. Literally, she didn't want to deal with it. And then she wanted to leave. And I replayed those situations in my mind, like, all the ways I didn't know I could have done better is, you know, would she say true? Was what she said true? Like, did I do something? And I would replay these conversations and scenarios over and over in my head, like at night. And I had just gotten a new job. I had a new baby, and literally I would go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and get up at 6, like, what? And get my kids ready for school, you know, drive across town, do my job. And I literally remember one day walking in the hallway at work, thinking to myself, man, like, I only had 2 hours of sleep and I'm out here doing a damn thing. Like, what? Yeah, because I'm it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. Because I'm out here in these streets and I'm doing all the things on less than 2 hours or an hour of sleep. And this went on for a while. And eventually, you know, I kept hearing helicopters. Now I live in the Washington, D.C. area. And I was like, why am I hearing helicopters? Because isn't there like protocol on how close helicopters or airplanes could be in the neighborhood? And I was here in the neighborhood. And I would ask my mom, I'm like, Mom, like, do you hear those helicopters? And she would always tell me yes. So I was hearing the helicopters, and then next thing you know, it would be at night. I would see flashing lights in my window, and I'd be like, oh, snap, the aliens coming to get me, man. Like, they're coming to get me. Like, for real, scared, like scared out my mind in my bed that the aliens are coming to get me. And one day I was in my room, and I was like, the aliens are coming to get me. And I heard myself, internal conversations. So what are you going to do? I was like, I should go hide in this closet. And then, you know, my common sense was saying to me, well, if you hide in the closet and there are aliens and they come get you, what are you going to do about the kids? We should go get the kids. And I was like, oh, no, that's not a good idea. Because if we put the kids in the closet, they're going to look at you like you crazy. Like, Mommy, why are you putting us in the closet? I was like, you're right. We can't put the kids in the closet. And we can't go in the closet. We can't go in the closet. Okay, okay. It's okay. It's okay. So, you know, I talk myself down. Like, you know, aliens, they're not coming to get you. But I would have episodes where I literally would be in my bed at night, lights and little sounds, and be like, oh, the aliens are coming to get me. I would drop my kids off at school. And like I said, it went on for, I don't even know how long it was. I don't know. We're talking about months. I don't know. We're talking about weeks. But I remember driving my car and thinking to myself, it's not safe because I heard the helicopters again. So helicopters are consistent in my story. I would hear helicopters every day, randomly in the day. And then it became more frequent that I would hear the helicopters. And I was driving in my car and I stopped at a light and I was thinking, I keep hearing these helicopters, man. You know, Obama's president. Like, it's not safe. Like, Washington, D.C. is not a safe place up in this joint. Like, it ain't safe. And I got my kids at daycare and like, they're in different places. I was working in Northwest, D.C. Actually, at that time, I was working in Bethesda, Maryland. My kids were in Northwest, D.C., Northeast, D.C. And I was like, if they bomb D.C., how am I going to get to my kids? Like, this is not safe. Like, this is a dangerous place. You know, remember what happened when we had the earthquake a couple of years ago? And these are my inner conversations. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's not safe. It's not safe. We need to pack the kids up and we need to sell our house. And I need to move up in a mountain somewhere where it's safe, like it's isolated. And as I was thinking that, I was like, yo, man, but that's like Octavia Butler. So for all those who don't know, Octavia Butler is the most prolific science fiction author of our time. I'm just saying. But she was a recluse. And I was like, these thoughts right here will have you just like Octavia, isolated out in the country somewhere by yourself. So pull yourself together. It's okay. Like, you've lived here all your life. It's all right. There's a high being. You're okay. All right. I receive that. I receive that. But I kept hearing helicopters. So finally, I was like, man, I'm hearing helicopters more often. So I'm going to write the mayor. You know, so I wrote the mayor of Washington, D.C. about the helicopters. And I wanted to know about all of this increased airplanes in the air, this air movement. What's going on? And I'm talking to my best friend and I'm telling her how I wrote the mayor. And I'm like indignant, like, yeah, I wrote the mayor because all this freaking airplanes, I'm here all the time. And she's like, Jeannie, you didn't mail that letter. Yeah, I mailed the letter. Why wouldn't I not mail the letter? Because it's not safe. Like, why do they have the airplanes? And she was like, I think you need help. I was like, I don't need help. She's like, I think you need help. Like, remember what happened to a friend of mine, and I just don't want that to happen to you. I was like, I'm good, girl. I'm good. She was like, listen, I really want you to realize that you need help, and when you do, I need you to get it. And I was like, nah, man, I'm fine. Like, I ask my mom all the time, like, do you hit helicopters? And she's like, yes. So this one day, like, close to the end, I hit helicopters that morning. I look at my four-year-old at the time, and I'm like, a star. Like, you hit helicopters, baby? He stopped. He tilted his head. He was like, mommy, I don't hit helicopters. I said, okay, all right. You don't hit helicopters. 5 minutes later, I was like, I'm sorry, you telling mommy you don't hit those helicopters. He was like, mommy, I don't hit helicopters. So I'm like, okay. 10 minutes from then, I was like, you sure you don't hear anything? He was like, no. So, you know, we finished getting ready for the day. I'm strapping the baby, at the time, the baby in the car seat. And Asar is like standing outside the car waiting for me to put him in, strap him in. And I'm hearing helicopters. I'm like, Asar, do you hit the helicopters? He's like, mommy, I don't hit helicopters. But the way he's looking at me, I'm like, oh man, maybe Chris is right. Like, maybe I'm Looney Tunes out this joint. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I do need help. And I still didn't go to like a therapist or anything like that. What ended up happening was I was physically sick. I started to be physically sick. I was nauseous. I was weak. I felt like my heart was beating entirely too much. You know, I thought maybe I had the flu. Like, I didn't know what the heck was going on. So I went to doctor because, like, I'll go to the regular doctor. I don't know about y'all. Like, regular doctor, like, that's my thing. So I went to the regular doctor. And, like, you were talking and she starts asking me, like, how much sleep do you get? And I'm like, man, I don't know, like, 2 hours. She's like, 2 hours? Like, what? That's your nap? I'm like, you know, 2 hours a night, maybe 3, most 4. She was like, for how long? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, for a minute. And she's asking me more questions about sleeping and everything else. And I'm like, yo, man, why are we talking about my sleep when I'm sick, dude? Like, I'm sick. And as she walks me through all the questions, she says to me, you know what, Ms. Dawkins? You're suffering from sleep deprivation. And she was like, you are at the last stages of sleep deprivation where your body gives out and you're hospitalized. And I'm like, for reals, you know, and then, okay, because what I'm not going to do is go into the doctor's office, talked about, you know, hearing the airplanes and the aliens come to get me. But hallucination is part of sleep deprivation. And it just seems so real, guys. Like, I'm laughing, but I'm telling you, like, I was so scared, man. I was so scared. Like, you couldn't tell me, like, they weren't coming. And that's the paranoia that is sleep deprivation at its worst. And it doesn't have to get like that, but you do have symptoms of just lack of sleep. Sleep deprivation doesn't have to be like my cautionary tale, right? Sleep deprivation is like literally when you're not getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep consistently. You know, it could be off and on, but you're not getting it. And this is what it looks like when I say we all suffer from it, even though we don't necessarily embrace that. So when you don't get enough sleep, it affects your ability, your executive functioning. You know, we talked about that, you know, in our growth mindset or in my ADHD episode when I talked about like executive functioning, which is your ability to plan out, to use your working memory, to put thoughts together, you know, to put plans together, right? Because you're drowsy. So what happens when you're drowsy? You're making decisions. Are your decisions the best ones? Think about it. Maybe not. For myself, sleep is like a challenge for me, but I always focus on it so much after that. But, you know, I'm gonna pull out my health coach hat. One of the things that is affected by not sleeping is your ability to make good choices. Okay. No matter what you're trying to do, let's say you are trying to release the weight, because we don't say lose because we're not trying to find it, right? So let's say you're trying to release the weight. You're not getting enough sleep. So first of all, even though you want to release the weight, you're tired and your body knows it. So your body is going to send signals telling you, go for the sugar because it needs the energy. Your body can discern good, bad. It's like, this is what I need. You know, so then you're eating things that don't necessarily benefit you, right? Because you're tired. Coffee, like, why is coffee one of the most consumed beverage? And oh my God, I mean, don't even get me started about Starbucks and these cups, like these cup sizes. I'm like, who drinks that much coffee? First of all, we all know Starbucks, and I'll go on my tangent. Starbucks is not just coffee, it's a bunch of sugar. But why do you think we drink it so much? Because we're tired, right? So, you know, it affects that executive functioning. And so it also increases your risk of cardiovascular problems. Also, poor immune function, difficulty with blood sugar, increased weight, which I just talked about. Poor immune function because your body heals and resets when it's rest, when it's sleeping. Point blank period. And we all know this at some levels because I'm going to tell you, when I get sick, flu or something, like not even so much the flu, it could just be flu-like symptoms, I reach for my good NyQuil, you know, because it puts me to sleep. I feel like once I get some, I feel so much better. But is it the NyQuil? What is it? Something NyQuil that makes people want to use it as a recreational drug. But no, it's not like that. But it just makes you sleep because your body heals at rest. And, you know, the other thing that happens when you don't get enough rest, I just want to go through the symptoms so you can say, oh, yeah, I got a little bit of that. Because no one wants to sit around and be like, oh, I have sleep deprivation. You know, I get enough sleep. Do you really, though? So another one is irritability and apathy. Okay. Ooh, irritability. We'll be short. Like, I know I'm short. Like, when I don't get enough sleep, I know I'm off. I know my game is off because I'm snapping. I don't even have any patience. When I was a kid, whenever we would get mad and upset, my mom would tell us to take a nap. And at 44, because my birthday is coming up soon. So at 44, and me and my brothers, yeah, let us have a bad day. Let someone make us really, really mad. We will go look for a nap. It's like recharge. I call it resetting my day. I need to reset my day, okay? Because you tend to be more irritable when you don't have a lot of sleep, when your body's not at rest. So just saying, think about it, right? So irritability. So I'm going to go through my little spiel about the emotions, okay? So irritability can lead to anxiety, and anxiety can lead to depression or paranoia. So it's like a 1, 2, 3. It's tiered on, you know, how it affects us mentally, not being able to get enough sleep, right? So we want to create a space where things are possible. We limit our possibilities because trust and believe, we can always get things done. But how much quicker, better, and efficient could we be if we got rest, okay? And I was listening to Nat Ministries by Tracy Hersey, and she was talking about grind culture in the African-American community. And she was saying that grind culture is white supremacist work culture. And she sees taking a nap as a social justice movement. And in saying that, like I just said before, I don't need any sleep. I can go ahead and get it done. I've been doing this since high school. I've been doing this since college, you know, because we are grinding. Why are we grinding? She says to not rest is really being violent towards your body, to align yourself with a system that says your body doesn't belong to you. Keep working. You are simply a tool for our production. We have taken this system and have made it a benchmark of a way to prove that we are worthy to a system that treats us less than. We feel like if we grind every day to prove something, that it'll give us validity in this world. But if we look at where we came from, our ancestors as slaves never got to really rest. Luxury of taking a nap. I was speaking to Christine Job in episode 9, and she was saying that she felt as though moving abroad is mental health for Black people because it gets us away from the grind culture. And one of the ways that we can do this is to get rest. Get some rest, sis. Bruh, get some rest. You know, that conversation that we have with ourselves, you know, I got this. I've been doing this. Yeah, you've been doing this. But you're killing yourself, even though it doesn't seem that way. It is. We shorten our longevity with the grind culture that's based on a system that didn't care about us. So show yourself some love, man. We got to show ourselves some love, slow down, get some rest, you know? So how can we do that? So I'm going to give you some tips. 20-minute naps. I know you're like, Jeannie, 20 minutes? I don't know. But we all know. 20 minutes because it's just enough, but not too long because you know what I'm talking about. You take a nap and you wake up like, oh my God, I need to go back to sleep. So you don't want your body to get there. So, you know, 20 minutes. Set a timer. That's what I do. Meditation. Okay, so meditation can mimic the brain waves of sleep. So what's important is that REM, that brain activity that resets the body. There are plenty of what on Spotify, and it's just plenty of places where you can, you know, meditate. If you're not the type of person like, oh yeah, I'm gonna sit here and meditate. I need an auditory space. They have that. Even, I want to say the GZA has a meditation. That's really, really cool. So you can listen to podcasts. You can listen to audio of meditation. And some of them are fun. Some of them are fun. I believe they even have like hip hop. If that's your thing, if it's not, you know, they have R&B, Afro flow. There's so many different spaces of meditation. It does not have to look the way that we think it does. But meditation is one. Okay. Exercise regularly because it creates a rhythm within your body. Creating a nighttime routine. Woo, child. It's a struggle for me. Amen. I'm going to talk to myself. Creating a nighttime routine was a struggle at first. The first thing I did was I started to set my phone. So I have an iPhone. I don't know about Androids because Android's a challenge for me. But on my iPhone, I set the timer. So there is actually a part on your phone that says, like, this is the time I need to go to sleep and this is the time that I want to wake up. And it tells you the total amount of hours that you get to sleep. And when you set your phone that way, it turns everything off. So it turns your ringer off, your apps. Doesn't mean you can't use them, but you have to actually make an active decision. I know I'm supposed to be going to sleep right now, but I'm going to play this game one more time. I'm going to go on Facebook one more time. And it'll keep pinging you like, yo, it's time to go to bed. Sometimes we need those reminders on that second to make a decision and like be mindful of the why you need to get rest. Self-care, self-love. So what is another tip? Stick it to your bedtime schedule on weekends and holidays. Okay. And let's be honest. So these are goals. But here's the thing with a goal or an intent. We do the best we can. Sometimes it's not going to be that way, but it is the consistent striving towards it that will help us gain rewards. Okay. So real quick, let's go back over them. 20-minute naps, meditate, exercise, wake up during the same time every day on weekends and holidays. And it gets easy. It gets easy. I mean, your biorhythm will actually pick up. And you won't even need an alarm clock. So it's just like retraining yourself. Okay, and they have one more. Don't drink caffeinated drinks afternoon, okay? And for my coffee drinkers and my tea drinkers, like, you know, decaffeinated. Like, if you like the taste, then get yourself some decaf. It doesn't mean you can't have. And don't ever think of any of these things as a limitation. It's just a pivot point. It's just a time to switch up. Make a conscious choice to love yourself. You know, expand your mind and your consciousness. And like I said, nothing's ever perfect. So just keep trying. Like, I have a perfect routine and then sometimes, bloop, it's over. And it's like, ooh, I fall off for a couple of weeks. But Fitbit conversation, I'm going to throw that in there. So I was going to mention it. So I use my Fitbit because it tells me how much sleep. So I'm sure everyone knows there's so many different wearable devices, rings, watches, necklaces that you can wear that will actually support you in getting enough sleep. Okay, so, you know, when you find yourself to be a little irritable, because we get caught up, you find yourself being a little bit irritable and you have your watch or whatever you have going on, it'll tell you, like, sis, your average sleep for this week is 4 hours. You're like, oh, I have to do better. So get yourself some sleep. And of course, this is the cipher. I always got throwing in. You know, it's all about the music. So the song of this episode is Stressed Out by Tribe Called Quest, featuring Faith Evans from the Beats, Rhymes, and Life album. I love Tribe, period. But I don't know, it's not about Q-Tip, man. It's not about that voice. But I love this lyric. And it says, yo, I know the feeling when you're feeling like a villain. You be having good thoughts, but the evils are revealing. And the stresses of life can take you off the right path. No doubt. Jealousy and envy tends to infiltrate your staff. We gotta hold it down so we can move on past all adversities so we can get through fast like that. So I'm gonna end on that note. We all out here stressed out at some point because we not getting no sleep. Like that Janet Jackson song. I love that dance song. But anyway, because we not getting any sleep. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hit me up. Let me know what you thought. If you was to pick one thing to improve your sleep, let me know. Till next time.
Thank you so much for listening. If this content is delivering value to you, please subscribe and go to wherever you listen to your podcast and give us a 5-star review. That helps us build this community. And that's what we're all about, building this community as big as we can to deliver as much value as we can. The Parenting Cipher podcast is produced by the Podcast Laundry Production Company, and the executive producer, myself, Jeannie Dawkins. Until next time, remember to be patient with yourself and your child.